The latest from Carson City to Capitol Hill. This is Vegas at 8 on News Talk 840 KXNT.
And a good morning. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday morning. And joining us right now on the KXNT live line, Assemblywoman Annie Black. And I saw that she was being billed as unbowed, unbroken, and unapologetic. That's good. That's very, very good. Assemblywoman, thanks for being with us. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Alan. It's always great to catch up with you.
So one of the things I want to talk about, let's get right to the big elephant in the room, okay? And that is the fact that you were tossed off the floor because you weren't wearing a mask. These are the same, during the same times and days that the White House was having people there without masks, and that you were in a legislative session in the hall there with all kinds of dividers and more than 6 feet from people, and people had their, you know, either had their vaccines or, like some of you, tested negative for COVID, and still they wouldn't allow you on that floor without a mask on. And so they tossed you off, not for very long, because you've come back in a different dimension, I guess you could call it, right?
Right. I mean, basically, everybody, the mask requirements were dropped, and everybody, it was up to them whether they wanted to wear a mask or not. And unfortunately, the thing that I think a lot of us fear about vaccine passports is that certain people that may not be in the right circles are going to get targeted. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened to myself, Assemblywoman Dickman, and Assemblyman Ellison. For some reason, the Democrats decided to come after us. And we know that to be true because quite a few of our colleagues and our attachés and staff have never been asked to provide proof that they're vaccinated. So for some reason, they decided to target the three of us.
So. Did they say why?
No, they didn't say why. I mean, I can assume that it's because, I've been making a lot of noise and making their life difficult. And unfortunately, I feel maybe like Assemblywoman Dickman and Assemblyman Ellison may have been collateral damage because we're all pretty close and we kind of hang together as a tight-knit group of actual conservatives up there. So it seems a little bit like retaliation, but who knows?
But now you're back in the legislative session, but in a different type form.
Right. So fortunately, we had a win, and we were able to get me back to being able to vote, which is great. I can represent my people. I don't have to wear a mask to vote, and I didn't have to apologize, which was one of the stipulations of being able to vote from the floor. So unfortunately, I can't vote on the floor, but I'm permitted to do it virtually. So it's not great, but it's, I guess, a compromise that will work for now.
You know, I'm amazed by, because I got this email also about some of the people who wrote to you. It sounds like some of the people who are going after Rand Paul, actually. And, I mean, some of the viciousness was amazing, what some of the people wrote to you. I mean, downright vicious, sometimes bordering on obscenity.
Yeah, no, there's definitely obscene stuff happening on social media, stuff being sent to my email. I guess the hardest thing for me to wrap my head around is why is it so hard for some people to accept that someone has a different belief than they do? It's like, if you differ from what the left thinks, you're an evil, selfish, basically just the most evil person on the planet, and they hate you. They hate you for a different ideology. I'm not saying we don't have those people on the right too. You know, there's people on both sides, but you know, if you believe something different than I do, that's okay. I'm okay with that. Like that's your right, but it seems like we don't have that right afforded to us.
Well, yeah, there was a time, and I've been doing this, and talk radio used to take a lot of phone calls and like that. There was a time when we could have differences of opinions, and you know, some people would want to call names. I tried to always work it. So, you know, why do that? Let's talk about the issues and do it one point at a time. We won't cover every point. I get it in this conversation, but let's take one or two points. Let's deal with them and explore it as opposed to just saying, well, I disagree. So you're a racist, you're a fascist, you're a this, you're a that. I mean, that accomplishes nothing except it enhances animosity and nothing more. I do like the quote, though, that you put into your flyer about one of my heroes, Barry Goldwater, who said, if I should be attacked for neglecting my constituents' interests, I shall reply that I was informed that their main interest is liberty, and that in that cause, I am doing the very best I can. Barry Goldwater would have been probably, in my opinion, probably the greatest president we could have ever had. But that was a long time ago and a land far away. All right, let's talk about some of these other issues going on, because there are other bills out there. One is AB 321, which makes it permanent that all changes that were made to the election laws during the special session last August because of the epidemic pandemic would be become permanent changes, such as, well, mail-in voting.
Yeah, mail-in voting, automatic mail-in voting. So basically, we're going to mail ballots to everyone, and also ballot harvesting. And for the mail-in ballot part, I was reading this morning that that's going to run us just in 2022 alone over $17 million. I haven't vetted that, but it seems like it could be, that could be accurate. So not only is it dangerous, I think, for our elections, it's going to cost us a lot of money.
Costs a lot of money, and then put a question mark on the result of the election on top of that. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Does not make a whole lot of sense. There's another one out there, too, which I don't get this one at all. I don't get mail-in voting. You know, everyone gets a ballot mailed to them, and the harvesting is bad. Matter of fact, it's against the law of the state, but hopefully that will be going to the courts. But this SB 292 that would require in a general election to be able to vote a straight ticket for partisan races. I'd never heard of that happening anywhere before, except maybe in Chicago in the 1920s. You know, and they used to get people drunk, and they say you go in there and you'd vote all, you know, this one ticket, and that, I mean, that's how they did things. But that's why they stopped having booze offered during election day back in the day. But now
maybe we
they're
should
gonna
go
have
back
it.
To that.
Yeah. Oh, believe me. I understand. But the idea now of being able to vote is just a straight party ticket. That just doesn't make any sense. I mean, why shouldn't you go up and down each one of the offices and decide for yourself? If you like all Democrats, then vote for all Democrats. You like all Republicans, vote for all Republicans. But having a straightforward ticket for partisan races doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't really understand the point of this bill either. I was actually talking about it with Assemblyman Matthews yesterday afternoon, because he's on Ledge Ops Committee, and they were hearing it yesterday. You know, I was trying to make the arguments for it, against it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And unfortunately, I mean, even in a partisan race, I've seen, at least on the Republican side, you can vote for a Republican and they're not necessarily always going to act like a Republican, but at least you know kind of what you're going in a general direction of what you think you might know about somebody. So I don't really understand why they're proposing this bill. I haven't talked to the sponsor. I believe it's Senator Kieckhefer is proposing it. I'm as confused about the premise behind it as you are, honestly.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're doing it. It just doesn't make sense. If it made sense, there's nothing to explain it and why the necessity at this time. Last thing real quickly is something else that has been very controversial up there, and that's the CCW type of law, where they would, I think it's called the MGM law or something along those lines. So it would prohibit someone legally from going into a casino or another designated area that they don't want you to have to carry a gun. It would make it against the law, not just against their own particular edict in the store or casino, but against the law. So they could actually go ahead and suspect suspect someone might have a gun and call the police. The police could come down and search you for anything. If they found a little bit of, you know, pot or heroin or something like that, you could be busted for that as well. It seems to me, I understand a lot of Democrats are opposing this because of the possibility of stop and search mentality where people are just getting searched for something willy-nilly. And so, again, a lot of Democrats, I understand, opposing this.
Yeah, I heard, well, I didn't hear, I read a comment from one of my colleagues in the assembly about that, too. They're worried about, exactly like you said, minorities being targeted unfairly. I think, you know, in talking to some people about this bill yesterday, it might be a reaction. I'm not on this committee, so I can't speak totally to it because I haven't had the bill in front of me yet in detail, but from what I understand, it might be a little bit of a reaction from the Route 91 Harvest Festival shooting and, you know, that gentleman having all those guns in his room. And how did MGM not know about that? Why didn't they go into their room and check? But as you said earlier, that's something that every private business already has a right to say no firearms on this property. So I don't know why we need this bill if they can already implement their own policies internally, but I don't know.
And a lot of it did go back to the October 1 shooting, and this guy did not have a CCW. I mean, this was not a CCW type thing. This guy secretly brought in a ton of high powered weapons and sought to just shoot a lot of people and kill a lot of people. This had nothing to do with CCW. I don't know anyone with a CCW. I have never heard since I have been here of anyone with a CCW walking into a casino or any other place and shooting it up. I've heard of people doing it that don't have CCWs and that are crazy, but I've never heard of somebody with CCW using that CCW to gain access to a place to start shooting it up. Not one case. Not one case. So I just wanted to bring that up. Assemblywoman Annie Black, always great having you on. Thank you for standing up for the most important principles. You always do. And we'll be following what happens and hopefully talk to you in the next few days to see how things work out.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate it. And if you don't mind, I would love to plug my website. It's annieblack.net. I have a great newsletter. If you want to go on there and sign up, I would appreciate it and keep you informed on what's going on up here at the legislature.
Will do. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
Be well.